Good morning, everyone. There's a great lie that faces us in our life. There's a greater problem that each one of us has to confront. And there is a sacred invitation that the Lord Jesus gives to each one of us to renounce the lie and to embrace and find a greater triumph amidst the circumstances and problems that we face. What is the lie? To be great, you need to be powerful. And to be worthy of dignity, you need to be first. It's the powerful, the rich, the accomplished, those that have authority and can impress their will on others, they're the ones that matter. My brothers and sisters, that is a total lie from the evil one. And we fall for it every day. Wouldn't my life be better if I was more rich, if I was more powerful, if others held me in greater esteem? I mean, wouldn't that finally resolve it all for me? And the scriptures are here to tell us through the witness of James and John, renounce all of that, just forget it. And what's the problem? The greater problem, my brothers and sisters, is that in our own world, in our own lives, in our own families, there is such tremendous suffering. Think of the infirmities, the diseases, the setbacks, the separations, the wounds. It is this relentless scourge of violence upon the human person. Left and right, it seems like evil has the upper hand. And we want to retaliate against it. We get angry because we see it. We get tired because we hurt and we're bruised. We anguish when someone we love is dying and nobody can do anything. The great prevalence of evil and suffering in the world. Jesus enters in the midst of all of this. He overcomes and he overturns the lie. And he finds dignity where society finds worthlessness. That is to say, in the midst of suffering. In fact, Jesus comes to turn it all upside down. And whoever we think we might be, at least in some way, each one of us, we get what James and John were thinking about. I mean, it'd be great to be at the right and the left in a kingdom of power. And Jesus says, don't fall for the lie anymore and don't live by it. And amidst all the things that you see, there's a way that will overcome all of this, but it's a way that's my way. And the thoughts of God are not your thoughts. And what is the way? In these chapters of Mark 8, 9, and 10 especially, there's a very specific invitation given to us. And it comes up through that phrase when it says, when Jesus was walking on the way with James and John. We hear that phrase, on the way, 7 times in these chapters. And Jesus is very deliberate about what his way is. And it's the way of the cross. It's not our way. It's not what we understand. It's not what we can predict. But it's the way of salvation. And Jesus says, as you see all of the falsehoods out in there, you know, the powerful make their authority felt. Their great ones force their will upon others. It will not be so among you. That is a commandment from Jesus. Don't fall for it. Don't live by it. When you're tempted, renounce it. But there's a better way, and I want to show you it's the way that excels everything else. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom, as a gift for many. So how do we enter into this gift? What is it that Jesus is essentially teaching each one of us? First, this is a way to be learned, not by what we think about it, but by faith. We need to take a step in faith and follow the Lord. Where is the suffering in our lives? Where is the suffering in our households? Where is the conflict in the injury? Who have I hurt by my mistakes and my pride and perhaps my own infidelities? not to respond in words, but to let those questions be responded to in the silent encounter with the heart of Jesus. Because he's going to teach us a better way, and a way that can bring healing and restoration to all of us. St. John Paul II, whose 40th anniversary of his inauguration to the pontificate we will celebrate tomorrow, writes in perhaps his most memorable encyclical on the Redeemer of Man, the last chapter. And he speaks about the dignity of the Church, the dignity of God's people, a prophetic and priestly and royal dignity. And especially when he speaks about the royal dignity of Jesus, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he has a deep insight that I think can be helpful for each one of us. This is what John Paul II writes. He says, "One element seems to stand out in the midst of all the riches of the teaching of the Church, and it is our invitation to share in Christ's kingship and his mission, and rediscovering in oneself and in others the special dignity of our vocation and our readiness to serve, in keeping the example of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve." Sounds so simple, doesn't it? I mean, our dignity, that the teachings of the Church, the sacramental life that we have, it's pushing us, it's sending us to go serve, not to be part of the problem or the lie, part of the solution. And so maybe instead of responding with words, instead of letting anger get inside of us, say, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm also here to serve. Fundamentally, I believe it now. My life is about myself. Let me serve where the hurt is. Let me serve the ones that you've called me to love." Now, John Paul II sees in this invitation what he calls spiritual maturity. Why is that? Because to serve, my brothers and sisters, takes virtue. That means I'm ready to renounce myself. I'm ready to decline my passions. When I want to respond with anger and I'm upset and I can't believe somebody just told me that, we renounce it. And we walk behind Jesus. And we say, instead of responding to anger with anger, I'm going to serve now in the silent way of love. John Paul II then goes on to say that in addition to spiritual maturity, which calls us to virtue, that there's a particular gift of the Church. And this service, is everybody still with me? Can't lie to a priest, remember that, okay? You're like, "I'm thinking about something else right now." Come back. Come back to the Word of God. Because we want to know what our response of service is. We want to live this Word and enflesh this Word. So spiritual maturity and virtue, and John Paul says to live our state of life. My brothers and sisters, each of us have a charge, a command from Jesus to serve. And the way that we serve is irreplaceable. It means that my life as a priest, the obligations that I have, that God has given me, the Church has given me, nobody else can fulfill those for me. I need to live them and give myself as a priest. Sacramental availability for the needs of God's people, to visit the sick, to proclaim the Word, to celebrate the Eucharist, to absolve sins, to send us a soul back to Lord. Now I have to embrace that as a priest. It's my path of holiness. And as I'm experiencing that, this command of Jesus, "I've come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life." Wow, I'm starting to discover what that means. That's also true for someone in the married state of life. What is it that marriage has essentially called you to? "I'll be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life." Wow. Now, instead of speaking something, instead of holding on to the injury, instead of getting stuck in our own minds, just to say, Jesus, I'm done with all that. I'm done with thinking about myself. Help me to be faithful in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love and honor the one I vowed myself to. Now that is spiritual maturity. Living out the vows you have, the promises that I've made. It's entering into that sacred path of service. And what are the most essential promises that all of us have made? The promises that we've made at baptism. My brothers and sisters, every path of life in the church, of a priest, of someone consecrated to religious life, of the married, of somebody that is single, is to fundamentally fulfill our baptismal promises. I renounce Satan and all his lies and all his empty promises. I renounce the world and all of its deceptions. And I don't want to be part of it anymore. And I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I will live my Christian vocation. That means that each one of us, when we're touched with the problem of violence and suffering, when the lie tries to seduce us, I renounce that in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to find the way of the cross in my life. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us to walk the path of spiritual maturity. And it's this path of fidelity to our state in life that becomes the sacred power that overturns the evil in the world. It's the way that we share in the commission of Jesus, who said, I haven't come to be served. I've come to serve and to give my life. Perhaps we could conclude with these words of Mother Adela Galindo, the mother foundress of the Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary. She writes in a letter to the sisters of the congregation, to serve is not just a disposition to work, to act, but before anything else, it is a disposition of the heart. To serve means fundamentally for every Christian to give your heart. To serve means to give your heart, to give the best of what we have, to lay it down in a path of silent, humble, and abnegated service. And as we do that, we realize we are walking with Jesus and we're on the way in the heart of the church. Let us ask Our Lady for this grace to accompany us as each one of us renews our own state of life and the call that we have to give our heart and to serve and to proclaim the gospel of the Lord. All for the heart of Jesus.